Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, April 21st, 2014, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I know I did. But you know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting that the week ahead is really going to be great. I'm thinking that I'm just full of great expectations today. How about you? I just reread a chapter in Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking. I reread the chapter, Expect the Best and Get It. It was like eating a real good meal for me. It really was. In fact, it was eating a real good meal, the kind of breakfast for champions, I'd like to say, food for thought. That's the kind of mental nutrition that I absolutely love, stuff that's going to make my thinking big and strong and healthy, stuff that, you know, I can mentally take in that's always going to make me see the possibility, the positive, and the best. You know, I'm declaring that the rest of my life will be the best and the most blessed of my life. Yes, yes, yes. I have had to overcome a lot of stuff, and I tell you, I yet and still expect the best, and I expect to get it, and I hope you do too. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all just innately programmed to think like that when we come into this world? Yes, it would. But unfortunately, it isn't so. Very often in our early years, our exposure to harmful, negative experiences cause us to grow up damaged, in pain, fear, and insecurities. And then, you know, we have to spend much of our time and effort in life overcoming those mental and emotional issues. It's true. Today, my guest is Cynthia Luce, inspirational speaker, child advocate, and author of Invisible Girl. Her own experiences have compelled her to speak out on behalf of the countless children who are silently dealing with those kind of painful issues. And she's going to talk to us about that, her own story, and ways that we can possibly help. I'm happy to have her on the Foxology stage today. Welcome, Cynthia.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thanks so much for being my special guest today. I appreciate your time, and I definitely appreciate the efforts you are making to help a generation that is often without the kind of help that they need. You've written a book called Invisible Girl, and we're going to get to that in a moment, but I would like to start off, if you could just tell us some things about you. Where were you brought up?
Actually, I was brought up in Orange County, California. I have lived out here in Southern California for most of my life. Beautiful weather, I might say.
We all know. We hear it all the time.
Especially today.
Well, that is really great. So you're native Californian, and we're going to lead into your story, but I know that your advocacy right now is on the behalf of children that you feel are dealing with issues that are just tremendously painful. And we know, because we read about this stuff too often, about how they're being bullied and some of the abuse and other issues of going from foster home to foster home. Just there's a list of things that challenge them today that's like no other. And I know that's where your mission is and where you're wanting to take many of us with you. But we'd like to know your story. Why don't you tell us, you share that in your book, so why don't you tell us what makes this resonate so well with you that you now have become a voice for these children?
Well, I would just like to first off start by saying that I have had my own personal experiences, you know, feeling, you know, invisible. And with this, I'd like to say Invisible Girl really provides a personal in-depth look into lives of children and what happens to them when society chooses to look the other way instead of helping and listening. So this mission is very close to my heart. And I just really am very thankful for the opportunity to put this, you know, these stories out there. And
yes.
Incite, you know, change in people and having them look, you know, a little bit closer and you know, really helping other people and children. Really, it fills our souls with something, you know, positive and beautiful. And when we you know, reach our hands out to help other people, you know, it kind of creates a ripple effect. And then, you know, other people mm-hmm. start helping other people. And what I really want to do is just kind of take the blindfold off of everybody and to put these issues out there so that people understand that they exist and that there is something that we can do to help.
For sure, for sure. Can you tell us your own experiences and how that had an impact on this?
You know, I've had some of my own personal experiences with being invisible. You know, growing up, I grew up in areas that weren't, you know, some of the best of areas, you know, were in schools where teachers, you know, weren't able to, you know, notice, you know, things that were going on. And, you know, with this, you know, I'm hoping to bring to light, you know, and open everybody's eyes so people understand that there are children that do need help, you know, men, you know, women and elders, you know, who often, you know, get overlooked. And this is basically, mm-hmm. you know, my mission is just, you know, for people to understand that we need to do more to help them.
Yes. Can you tell us then about some of the particulars of issues that you are referencing? I know I in some of the material that I read, I saw bullying, I saw abuse, I saw the issues of foster home after foster home. Break those things down for us a little bit from your perspective.
You know, bullying is a large issue right now that is starting to get looked at a bit more. But what I really want to do is kind of take the cover off of it and, you know, show what happens to children when they're, you know, bullied and cornered with no one there to help them and no one there to see them. And a lot of times parents overlook what's going on with their children, you know, and a lot of people's attitudes are, you know, this is normal, you know, kids will be kids, you know, this isn't really the fact. We really need to get a hold on, you know, this particular issue so that these children don't walk around angry and you know, personally feeling victimized, you know, throughout life. So this is kind of, you know, one of the topics that, you know, yes, the book does have in it. And I know a lot of people feel passionately about it, and I do myself certainly, you know, being a mother myself. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of a form of abuse, you know, and we
yes,
really want our children, you know, not to, you know, not just have these things done to them, but to do them to other people, you know, hurt people. So we really want to help them before, you know, things become out of hand. So that's definitely mm-hmm. one of the issues that I'm extremely passionate about.
Well, it's way out of hand. That's for sure.
Yes, it is.
I don't think a day goes by that we don't see another story with a sad ending regarding a child yes. or a person that has suffered at the, you know, the hands of a bully or the verbal actions of a bully. And, you know, I had that experience myself growing up. I didn't recognize any things that, you know, as I grew up, other than when I was little, it makes you fearful about going to school because you don't want to encounter that person. You know, they're, it's like yes. they wake, it feels to you like they wake up with you on their mind and how they can't wait to get a hold of you and attack you. That's how it feels. And throughout the day, it often felt like that. I was at a smaller school where we were in a classroom, you know, like you are in elementary school together most all day. And that was, in my particular case, for several years with this same individual who just seemed to dislike anybody
wow.
that was getting better grades than her. And she made life just absolutely miserable for several. But she was
oh,
always
no.
willing to beat us up and take our lunch money. And when cookie time came, she'd have to have our cookie too. And it was just amazing.
Oh.
And you really have a fear, a tremendous fear of that individual, because not only do they threaten, they follow up on their threats. And so I
yes.
know that it's a very a challenging situation, but more so now because there's so many other venues to bully a person on social media and things like
mm-hmm.
that, where, you know, these children are committing suicide and you know, it's horrible. So I know that what you're doing is definitely a good thing, and I'm certainly hoping that every voice that's raised behalf of it saves another person, if not many, particularly saving that person's life. Now, you mentioned abuse, too. Are you talking about literal child abuse when you mentioned that, or was that also in reference to the bullying issue?
No, it's actually a broader term. The abuse could be, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect. You know, there are several issues that I think, you know, get really overlooked. And like I said, they're kind of being brought to light, but not in the way that they should be, and that where people, you know, are really understanding what's going on. Because a lot of this is happening underneath our noses, and either we, you know, choose not to look, and we say, not my child, not my problem. But the problem is that it becomes everybody's problem. And if we choose not to acknowledge this, then, you know, then we kind of become part of the problem. And
mm-hmm.
these things perpetuate, you know, negative cycles. You know, when we were talking about the bullying, just to go back to that subject for a minute, you know, you really want to take a closer look on what's happening even with that bully. What's going on at home, you know? What's going on, you know, where their parents aren't paying attention? This is, you know, there's several. It raises several questions and several flags, and we really want to take a closer look and figure out what's going on there.
So when we talk about these issues and you talk about parenting, Cynthia, you know, it is a layered problem. It's not just what's happening in the child at school. It's also the parenting, and I know you're trying to reach
absolutely
as many people as you can. Do you think that people have just gotten to and you said blind, and I guess that might be part of it, but do you think we're just too busy and different in our society now that we miss things in our own children that are so very deep and challenging for them? I mean, do you think that we're just parenting
oh.
in a way that we think if we provide enough and we do enough of the right things, that certainly they should
sure.
be okay?
Sure. And you know, the thing is we're so wrapped up in our lives sometimes, and so wrapped up in what's going on at work, you know, or what's going on with other people in our family, that we're just not paying attention to what's going on under our own roof sometimes. And so, yeah, I do believe that people are not taking a closer look at sometimes at their home life and definitely the lives of their own children, you know. And these, like I said, these cycles perpetuate, you know, if the child is feeling, you know, lonely, hurt, you know, trapped or any of these other things, they're going to take those feelings and they're going to project them onto other people. And that's definitely something we don't want. We want to bring our children up in a happy and healthy environment as much as possible. And so, and I know that I, you know, would want that as a parent, and other people want that for their children too.
Mm-hmm. I really get it. I do. I kind of even see that in scenarios where, you know, parents come home and then you've got your kid. They may be sulking or they may be, you know, kind of looking or feeling like it, they're introspective, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
the parent just says, "What's the matter with you?" Which is really not a good question. Or what's with the attitude, you know? And, you know, of course, the response to that is just going to be some other negativity, you know, some other type of retaliatory responses. Are you able to tell us maybe a better approach to addressing children when we see those types of emotional times in their day, or when they come home, or you know that this is, you know, not, you know, we would might say, well, that's just normal, that's the way they are. Well, it's not the way that they should be. Children should be happy and engaged and doing productive things, because there really are tons of things to do. But you know, this whole technology has redirected so many mindsets. But is there a better approach? What would you suggest that parents be more aware of and say when they see their child in these emotional spaces that are unusual?
You know, that's a very good question. And, you know, I'm really glad you asked that. And in writing in Invisible Girl, I've actually put a lot of tools into this so that people can take a closer look at their children, you know, maybe ask more questions, spend some more time. You know, I know that people are wrapped up in their days and, you know, they've had a hard day at work or, you know, but sometimes it's few, you know, those minutes of attention that we're giving to them that make them feel like we're listening. And, you know, being invisible, you feel like nobody's listening and nobody's there when you really need them. And this is kind of what, you know, this is about, is giving the tools to parents, to people, to neighbors, to friends, to teachers, for them to take a closer look, you know, maybe at their students or at their children, their nieces, their nephews, or the kid down the street who looks, you know, unkept or unhealthy, you know, to be able to recognize the signs and the symptoms so that we can do something to help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so your book does go into skill sets that can be applied in these circumstances that will help parents have some how-tos about how to deal with those situations. Can you tell us, those of us that are on the sidelines that want to do something or be involved, what can we do?
Absolutely. You know, the first part of this I would like to say is acknowledgement. You know, being able to look and see that something is wrong. You know, and having that light on your, you know, above your head go off and say, you know, gee, you know, I wonder what little Sally needs, you know, something's off, you know, I want to help her. So, you know, acknowledging and then maybe asking questions, you know, and if something seems off in the answers, you know, taking it a step further, you know, and determining what that problem is, and then, you know, taking the proper steps to help. I mean, if it's abuse, you know, calling the proper authorities, you know, and letting them know what's going on so they can investigate and take a deeper look into what's going on, you know, because we don't always have those capabilities, but the authorities sometimes are able to go in there and get the information that they need, you know, and take care of the problem. We really need to, as a society, you know, look at what's going on and know that we can do something to help, that we can take those minutes out of our day that, you know, we should reserve as human beings and help, you know, one another. You know, this doesn't just go for children, but this goes for, you know, the elderly that, you know, are being overlooked, and the men mm-hmm. that are being overlooked. You know, this is a real broad, you know, topic. There's so many things in Invisible Girl that we really need to look at. And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, being able to help and make a positive change is going to be monumental.
Yes. Can you tell the audience some of the signs, emotional signs, that they should look for in their children? What are some of the key things that maybe they're they're not seeing, that they're invisible to right now, just on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, I would have to say that, you know, sometimes children have the tendency that are going through something, you know, severe, you know, have the tendency to either dodge questions, you know, or be withdrawn, you know, very, you know, low in energy. And, you know, a lot of children, like healthy children, are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, they're enthusiastic. But sometimes with things that go on, like traumas and stuff, they kind of shut down a lot. And it's really our jobs to kind of dig a little bit further, ask more questions. You know, you show them that they can trust us and then help them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I hear in that, and it comes from my background as a trainer, people often don't really have the skill sets, don't possess the skill sets to really address that and do something about it. Again, it kind of goes back to, you know, parents love their children, but oftentimes they have not either taught themselves or, again, feel a lack of time, and, you know, they know they're doing their best in other areas. And so just kind of think, as you mentioned earlier, it will pass, you know, or, you know, they'll get over it or get through it. You know, it's just a teenage
right.
thing. It's just a child thing. But the fact of the matter is we're in a whole different kind of society now, and where there
was
a time where there were so many elements into a child's growth that we could count on, you know, just about everybody, relatives, school, teachers, counselors, the parents, everybody was pretty instrumental in helping to create a healthy-minded child. And now there's 10 times as many distractions that will get that child's attention away from the things that we would love to have them be grounded in. And so it does take making ourselves more capable, more educated, more knowledgeable, more skilled as adults to be able to find out what we really need to know about what's going on with them. Because as you say, they're suffering silently. They feel invisible in many ways, and it's really true.
Yes.
They do not know how to communicate what's really wrong. They
Absolutely.
Don't know how to describe it, put it into words, and have you say, this is what it is.
Absolutely.
We do have to be... We'll have to do the probing, and we'll have to use as much intellect and insight as possible
yes.
to try to help them get those breakthroughs. I think technology is absolutely fabulous. It's fabulous for what it is, but it can't become the thing that is a child. It's a mechanical thinking, and it's a mechanical existence, and we have to go back to trying to teach them about values and morals and standards and humanizing them in the way that they need to get through life, because technology is not going to do it. It's just going to help. So
yes,
I want it to be understood that, you know, we don't always have it, and just even reading something or even listening to a show like this to offer some tips and a couple of strategies to help could really get that child to snap out of it, you know, snap in, you know, to see reality and that it's a good thing and that bullies don't run your life. They only make you think they do. You know, so I think it's fantastic what you're doing. If there are any other things that I may have missed that you feel are some pertinent strategies or insights that you can share, I'm going to invite you to do that as we head toward talking a little bit more about your book and where people can get it.
Actually, you know, I think we're really on point right now, and I'm, you know, just so blown away by this conversation because, you know, I think you really see exactly what it is that I'm trying to point out, and I'm really glad to have this opportunity to really put this out there. You know, these are really, they can be really sensitive and uncomfortable topics for people, but the thing is even though it's uncomfortable, we are still responsible for addressing these and really helping these children out so that they don't feel invisible so that they can lead the most healthy, happy, fruitful lives. This is our future that we're putting out there. And if we don't take care of them, they're definitely not going to take care of us.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And I know that we don't have to leave it to, you know, whatever happens. If we can just, you know, take another step and, you know, kick things up a notch and get ourselves in gear and really realize what mm-hmm. kind of impact as adults we can have on them, it can flip the script. I don't care how major it may seem. If enough of us do that, we definitely can come out as more conquerors over this than defeated.
Absolutely.
I know that for sure. Let's review a little bit about your new book, Invisible Girl, because you definitely have a powerful story and some powerful things to share in that. Just tell us one more time about it, what your message and mission is with that, and how people can get it.
My message is we basically don't, you know, we need to stop overlooking our children, you know, our neighbors, our elderly, you know, even the homeless people on the street. Everybody has a story. Sometimes what you see isn't necessarily what is. It is up to us to probe, to ask questions, and to see what we can do to help. And this has, you know, been a very, very life-changing experience for me, even in this writing process. I had the amazing opportunity to consult with Marilla Scott on this, and this has just been not just life-changing, but just monumental in a way. It's so much bigger than I thought, you know, it was going to be. It's really getting, you know, just the most amazing feedback, you know, and I'm so glad to have had this opportunity to even speak with you and your audience. This has just been phenomenal. Thank you so much for having me here. And you can get the book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Kobo.com, and iTunes.com. And if you would like a hardback copy with a with my inscription in there, you can visit www.cynthia-luce.com. And there's also some helpful information in there, too, and just like the latest media and pictures and a little more information about the book, Invisible Girl.
Mm-hmm. I know you also are a speaker and as well as advocate for this particular issue. How can people reach out to you if they would like to invite you on their platform to talk about this?
Oh, absolutely. You can actually visit me at cluce26 on Twitter and Cynthia Luce on Facebook.
Okay. And why don't you go ahead and give out your website info, too, before we wrap up?
Sure, absolutely. It is www.cynthia-luce.com. And you could also reach me on there as well, I believe.
Okay. Well, this has been a very important topic, very important issue, and I am glad to have had you on the air with me today to, again, do what you said, take the blindfolds off, help people see that our children are not just struggling because they're just bad kids. There are things that are going on that create these the acting out of everything that we see, every negative part of it. And as adults, you're right, we're the ones, we've got to, you know, square our shoulders on this and try to do whatever we can, again, to become more knowledgeable about what we can do. And, you know, if each one of us tries to do something, you know, that means a lot of us make something happen. And so, again, I appreciate what you're doing, and I wish you continued success with it. Thank you for sharing such keen insights, and again, I just wish you the best. I want to thank all of you, too, for tuning in today. I've been talking with Cynthia Luce. She is the author of Invisible Girl. She's an advocate for children and particularly those in the areas of what she calls and suffering silently with painful issues such as bullying and abuse and many other things that you know children are challenged with today. You can check her out on her website at www.cynthia.luce, that's luce.com, for more information on how she can be a speaker at your event and how you can get the book Invisible Girl. I want to thank you for tuning in today, and I will look forward to talking to you again next time. Again, I hope you have a wonderful week. Remember to expect the best, because when you do, you'll get it. Have a wonderful day.